Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a March 28th edition of the MSP Initiative, MSP Talk. It is the end of the first quarter of 2024. So hopefully everybody's been paying attention, but time is flying. And hopefully the weather's finally going to take a turn here shortly, or at least in my part of the world where it's not great here in the Northeast. Definitely looking for better digs, but stay tuned. Plenty of good stuff coming up. I'm gonna get some housekeeping out of the way, and then we're gonna get into the good stuff. So here we go. Second. All right. So MSPinitiative.com. This is basically where you're gonna find everything we do here at MSP Initiative. So if you don't know how to spell the word initiative, hit Google. They'll spell check you. Put it together. .com at the end. You're good to go. This session is being recorded, just like every other session we've ever done. We post these in podcast and video format. So if you're in a podcatcher, or if you're watching these online or on YouTube, or just under mspinitiative.com under sessions, like us, follow us. We do these often. It's pretty good content. So stay with us. We have MSP Community Minds. This is our in-person educational event coming up in Nashville. So this event is absolutely 100% free to register. If you're an MSP and join us for 2 days of actual real educational content, not, vendor pitches, masses educational content for whatever you will. So April 17th and 18th in Nashville, literally one of the hotel near the airport. So this is pretty easy if you're actually coming in from out of town. But if you're in Nashville, not driving you downtown in the middle of traffic. So we have MSP panelists that are going to be talking on a bunch of topics, and then we have workshops by experts from around the industry. These are like 2-hour workshops where we're actually trying to have you walk away with something tangible, not just death by PowerPoint. The agenda is posted here for day one and day two. Check it out. Again, other than getting there, which I understand is time and money, we are not charging $99, $599, $1,000 to register. It is absolutely free as an MSP for you to join us. So take advantage of this. There's some really smart people at this event. Nothing but learning to do. Then we have our MSP community block parties for the year. The first one we just completed down in Dallas with our friends at Enable with their Empower conference. Literally just got back yesterday. So this was a really, really great event. We have photos and videos and pictures and all the good stuff that'll be posted soon. Stay tuned. Next one looks like we're going to be doing a combination of both, and it's not listed, but we'll post it shortly. PAX 8 Beyond in Denver. That's, I believe, June 9, 10, 11, or 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there. Hit up, just Google PAX 8 Beyond. That's going to be literally right at next to the airport in Denver. It was a great event. It's going to be even bigger this year. We're also doing DattoCon Europe in Dublin. Both of these events happen to be in the same exact week. I digress. But we'll be doing block parties at both of those. So stay tuned for more information on that. We did Dublin last year and it was awesome. And looking forward to doing that again. Then we have some community offers. These are just deals and hookups by other, kind of vendors in the space that you may want to take advantage of. If so, awesome. And lastly is our industry calendar where we took something like 250 to 300 events, and there's more that come. And we post them to an industry calendar so like you can see what's going on, decide whether there's something for you out there. But if you wanted to stay on the road all year, you could. I suggest that you don't, and maybe you get a little bit selective. I digress. That is all the housekeeping. You'll find all of that at mspinitiative.com. There you go. Now we have the right person. So nice to meet you virtually, Elliot.
That was fast. That was great.
Yeah, well, hey, technology, when it works well. When it doesn't, bad things happen, I think, but I digress. Elliot, every time we bring somebody new, net new onto the show that's never been on before, we kind of like to talk to you, the person, Elliot, about like your journey and how you got into like the tech space, right? Because everybody's story is a little bit different and we learn things along the way. And then we can get into a little bit about what your company's doing and how that fits, what I like to call the IT and managed services sandbox. It's quite the interesting place. People, build castles and then get wiped out and, build them back up again. That's why I like to call it the sandbox. That being said, would love to hear a little bit about your journey, Elliot. How'd you get into the tech industry?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's great to be here, George. Thank you for having me. I'll kind of give you the full rundown here. And there's been, I always talk about it, kind of essentially three evolutions of my career, and two of which have been within the tech world. The first, interestingly enough, did not have anything to do with tech. I started my career in finance, actually, as a bond trader for a number of years. And so I'd like to think that there's some inherent skill sets that I hold over from that point. But I transitioned quickly into tech via actually starting my own business. And so I started a mobile app. We raised a little bit of funding and got some reasonable traction. But I used that as a lever and a mechanism to make a jump into the tech world. And I worked for a couple, I would call, much earlier stage businesses, including that business that I started myself, as well as, you know, Series A funded startups, sub 100 employees. And I did that for several years. And that is where I started getting exposure to, you know, partner concepts, the channel, if you will, and I'm sure we'll get into it. But from there, I made the jump to working for a couple different, what I would call scaling startups, including where I'm at right now with Vanta. But I've worked for a company called SendGrid, joined there when they were about 100 individuals, helped them grow to around 500. We became a public company. And then shortly thereafter, we were acquired by a larger, quickly scaling business called Twilio. And so spent a number of years at Twilio as that business grew from 2,000 to roughly 9,000 people. And then a couple years ago, I made the jump to Vanta, joining it around a couple hundred individuals. And now we're north of 400 folks. So that's been my journey over the course of the past 15, 17 years or so. And happy to get into, you know, more of the specifics and stuff like that as the conversation unfolds here.
It's really interesting, actually, because, you know, a lot of people feel like, and again, every industry varies a little bit, but like managed services, you know, and IT managed services, like everybody has different opinions on how many companies there are that fit that categorization. Let's say there's, I don't know, I'm going to go conservative, 80, 90,000, you know, IT managed services here in, you know, US, Canada. There's probably an equal amount, you know, spread out between Europe, and then you start getting into Asia and Asia Pac, right? So bottom line is, you know, like companies that largely service, we call it SMB, they call it SME, right? Everybody has a different term for it, but like, let's call it businesses under 200 employees, more or less. I'm not saying that that's the absolute ceiling, right? There are companies that deal with much bigger, but I would say generally the majority of people that I categorize as IT managed services fit that. And they've all been at varying stages, right, Elliot, of like your, you know, kind of what you just said, right? Like small companies, couple people starting out of the garage, right? Like, hey, do we take our own money? Do we borrow money? Do we figure it out? Right. And like, then you fast forward the stages a little bit, right? Like, hey, you know, now we're at 20, 30, 40, 50 people, right? We're growing granularly, or maybe we're acquiring or merging with other companies to grow. And that's happening a lot in the space because there's a lot of VC PE money that has kind of popped into our bubble recently. And then like from MSPs pop out software companies, right? They're like, hey, we went out to find a solution. We didn't find anything that we felt was the right fit. And so we built something. And then like a new company started out of that, right? And then all of a sudden they're in this kind of where you know, like, hey, we started a new software company, right? Like, again, whether we self-funded or borrowed money from someone or got investors, right? And there's all of that, right, in the sandbox. So we always, every time, and I do a lot of events and talk to a lot of people all year, but like this topic comes up regularly, and we always like debate which way is the right way. You know, like, do you take money pre-revenue, right? Do you start, you know, and hope that your idea takes off and like, cause you're on the clock now, cause you're running on somebody else's dime? Or do you prove your concept first under your own dime and then later on take revenue? Like, you know, like we always talk about all of those scenarios, but I digress. Sounds like you've been through varying stages of that.
Yeah, it's I think it's interesting. And some of the dynamics that you talked about in terms of how software companies get started, thinking, you know, initially through the lens of a services business. I mean, there are actually a lot of parallels around that in terms of how around Vanta's origin story. So, you know, our founder, Christina Cassiopo, you know, when she first started this business, it was focused around solving a particular problem. And the way that she and a small group of individuals went about it was very much through a services mindset. And the particular problem was, how do we help companies get to the point of being SOC 2 ready for that big, you know, scary attestation process? And she actually was hands-on with a number of businesses, particularly of the SMB variety, typically digitally forward, but very much hands-on trying to identify what makes this problem so challenging, and then what is the best way to solve it? And I think there are some instances in which that hands-on services model is really the right approach. In Vanta's case, it just so happened to be that there was some pretty elegant ways in which we could apply software to it, mm-hmm. hence where we are today. I think interesting in terms of the latter point you made there, Vanta did not actually take any funding until pretty far along in that journey of demonstrating that the customer pain, the jobs to be done were relevant, material, and then validating that the services and then software model that we applied to them, there's a real opportunity there and there's a business behind it. And then ultimately, once that traction was there, was originally I wasn't there at the time, but when we made that decision to say, hey, like, we need to seek outside investment in order to feel the next stages of growth here. So
no, I mean, listen, it's kind of the cool part about at least the time that we live in and the country that we live in, right? Like, you have the hustle and you're willing to put in the work. I know that varies, right? Not everybody's willing to do the work, but if you are, you can build some pretty cool things, some pretty cool companies, right? And there's a lot of people around that, but you know, everybody's ideas, right? Like, how do they get past idea stage? Got to have enough, you know, enough willingness, right, to get it to a point where it's real. Let's talk about SOC 2 for a second. So the way I perceive SOC 2, I've always talked about, is like, hey, you go down this road when you start dealing with bigger companies that require you to, like, be a little bit more legitimate, right? I don't know if that's the right presentation, but that's in my mind how I would have started the conversation when somebody brought up this term. And they're like, so, like, why do you even need to do this? And I'm sure you have a better answer than I do, but it's like, well, gives you the right to play upstairs, right? Like, past a certain point, like, they need to, in order to deal with you, in order to transact with you, in order to consume whatever you're offering, products, services, whatever, they need to make sure that you're playing in the right sandbox, that you have done the right work ahead of time, that, you know, because everything now cross connects. So to give it a parallel example that I think MSPs and IT service providers will get, like, it's like HIPAA, right? Hey, you want to deal with a doctor or medical, right? You know, outfit, then you got to deal with HIPAA, right? You don't have a choice. It's just how it goes. And so you're going to be required to play the game because your customer is now forced to do that from a legislation standpoint. Or, you know, we've been hearing a lot for people who are dealing in the government space, like CMMC, right? Which is constantly changing, I feel. But like, it's like, hey, if you're dealing with any government entity or a vendor of a government entity that has to deal with, like, defense or, you know, any of those, like, procurement of any of those kind of departments, then you need to now go down this road, you know, to have the ability to even have the right to play, right? So, you know, so, like, would love to get your opinion, Elliot, on, like, why SOC 2 is coming downstream and why the IT and managed services provider has to, like, ultimately, whether they like it or not, deal with it, or in a nutshell, you don't even get to play the game in some cases.
Yeah, I think, well, I'll start with the latter comment there. I think it's I would encourage folks to think about it less from a we have to deal with it perspective and actually look at it through the lens of, you know, there's actually, like, I think a material opportunity here that exists around this, what we could call a framework driven regulatory landscape. I think you to get to the root, I think you nailed it, right? It is and has been in many ways looked at as the ticket to play in that upmarket ballgame, right? You know, you are a small, you know, an SMB that's growing, that endeavors to start to sell to, you know, people like Microsoft, for instance, right? You know, over the past 10 years, they've increasingly been asking folks to, hey, show us how you think about security and managing that program. And of course, compliance is that demonstration of security. And that has only grown with importance. And hence why SOC 2 and ISO and all these other frameworks have become so important. What I would expand upon that, though, in the sense that it's not just playing up market anymore. I think if I'm starting a business these days, security is at the core of just about every buyer's requirements, honestly, down to the individual. When I think about when I sign up for a service, you know, one of the things that I do think about is how are they managing my data more through a privacy lens? We see it every day. I mean, Vanta is not we're not an enterprise level company at this point from a size standpoint, right? We're a little over 400 people. But when we are procuring software, when we are setting up our devices, et cetera, granted, we're a security company, so we have to be front-footed about these types of things. But it is very top of mind for us to want to better understand how are these vendors or individuals or devices that we are bringing into our ecosystem, how are they thinking about their security programs and how are they embracing this idea of compliance? And so to me, the opportunity set here has grown because of the fact that there is just an increased level of scrutiny from individuals to small businesses, mid-market companies, into the enterprise around this. And that is driven by I think it's driven by two things. One of which is threat vectors are constantly increasing, right? You know, we see about it every day through text messages, through phone calls, through emails, you name it. Those are the most typical types of vectors that individuals are dealing with, but businesses are seeing this day in and day out. Being a CISO these days is an incredibly challenging job. They are dealing with so many risks, and they're the one kind of C-suite that people are proactively trying to harm you and they have to actually play defense. And so that combined with the fact that we are just in this increasingly complex regulatory environment right now, especially with, you know, the introduction of AI and how that needs to be regulated from, to your point, like, as you mentioned, from government bodies, literally, you name it. Frameworks are popping up left and right. You know, everybody is familiar with FedRAMP, but over the past few years, state ramps are being introduced with different nuances from state to state. And all of that just increases the level of complexity around this. And as a result, why, you know, when we, and from a Vanta perspective, this is why we believe that there is a, not only a massive opportunity around this from a software standpoint, but also from a services standpoint, because there is a lot to think about and to manage, especially when you want to be front-footed and strategic about it, that for all, you know, the folks listening to this, like, if I'm thinking about how I can add layers onto my business and drive, you know, growth, et cetera, this world that started with SOC 2, but has grown to so much bigger than that is, there's material opportunity there. So,
yeah, I mean, even for a smaller company, maybe you have a different metric, but maybe at least 100 man hours of work to like collect the data, review and create policies, put the right technology in place, right? To like follow the things that need to be installed. Like somebody needs to do that, right? Like likely, whether it's the MSP internally or the customer that the MSP is servicing that might have to do similar things, right? From a compliance standpoint. Who is that person that's going to take that on? Probably doesn't exist in a lot of these companies, right? Like they need help to do that. So just like an MSP, and I'm going to use the doctor's office again, because it's like everybody has a doctor somewhere in their world. Like it's like if the doctor's office has to comply with HIPAA, and as part of HIPAA, there's paperwork, there's policies, there's training, but then there's technology. There's a part of that that IT services providers need to take on and help, you know, their customer with. And, you know, how big that part is, right, is up to you, right? You could get more into the non-technical side of it if you wanted to, but the reality is that there's just a lot of work there. Back to SOC 2 for a second, like, yeah, obviously you probably know much more about SOC 2 than I do, or I want to, but in order to go through a SOC 2 process, maybe we'll start here, Elliot, like, you need to probably get some sort of software platform involved, right? So that you could put all your stuff in one place is my guess, but I digress. You got to collect a bunch of information to like show, right, that like things are happening the way that they should. There's some policies, there's some training, there's some like paperwork that needs to be done. And then, you know, I'm sure you'll correct all this, but let me just finish a thought. You got to go through a period of time, right, to show, hey, we're now doing this, right? And then somewhere at the end of that, like almost like you're getting your books audited by, you know, an outside agency, you know, company, you need somebody to come in and say, hey, I need to validate that you are now doing what you, well, you know, what you're supposed to be doing. Did I get some of that? I hope I got some of that right.
Absolutely. Pretty spot on in terms of like the timelines and all of that.
So number one, that takes a lot of, there's effort involved, right? Like, and hopefully Vanta will talk about how you guys make that easier, but like there's, you could do like, just like everything else in IT world, right? You could do everything the hard way and by hand, or you can get automation and a little bit of like software in the mix, right? To help make it easier and streamline things.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do things the old fashioned way if it can get avoided, because there's only so many hours in the day. That being said, tell us where, you know, the MSP might need to get into this, and if there's an opportunity for the MSP to offer this type of, you know, consulting or services tied to this to their end customer. Like, have you seen MSP successfully adopt this as a new revenue source for their companies?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I, you know, I kind of noted it earlier, but like we think there's a really material opportunity for MSPs, MSSPs, you name it. We're working with north of 2,000 MSPs at this point of different varieties, shapes, and forms that are in various stages of building out what we've called effectively like compliance as a service businesses. Mm-hmm. And so I'll kind of simplify it in terms of maybe two different components of the timeline here. And this is an oversimplification, but I think a good way to think about it in the sense that, and again, this is solely thinking about it through the lens of SOC 2 and just knowing, again, the regulatory environment, this just, we can layer on any of the other frameworks, but this is one version of it where, you know, there's the pre-SOC 2, the readiness, like the preparation and the readiness for that. Technically speaking, that's what Vanta was built for, is to simplify that process and make that as efficient as possible for anyone, someone who's technical, non-technical, you name it. What used to be, I mean, we went through the SOC 2 process back at SendGrid, and it took nearly a year for that process from end to end. And that includes obviously like the audit windows and things like that, but just the preparation to get there for a business that is, you know, if we're talking about hundreds of people, it is a material lift. Vanta has simplified that. Now, that being said, there's still material opportunities for MSPs and experts in this space, because not all of what SOC 2 asks of a business is intuitive to non-technical folks. Yeah. You know, you think about it, if you're a founder, you're very commercially minded, chances are you don't even know where to begin in terms of thinking about, you know, the risks that people, devices, vendors are playing as it relates to your business. And so MSPs can know the space, and we've seen this where they are able to provide that context, that education, and in many instances, that hands-on keyboard to make that process that Vanta has shortened to call it weeks and months instead of quarters and years, but to make that process even simpler and smoother for their customers. That's just the tip of the iceberg, though. where I think this opportunity gets really interesting is that SOC 2 and that attestation process is literally just the beginning of a company's security and compliance journey. It is often, if I'm a small business, like that's where I need to then start thinking. It's a forcing function to start thinking about these things on an ongoing basis. And it provides the opportunity to start to be proactive. If I'm a growth-minded business, you know, especially in like, let's say the digital landscape, or even not, like my surface area is only going to increase. And so each and every like incremental or marginal increase of that surface area provides more opportunities for the service provider to layer on expertise and services. And again, as we think about that multiplied across a variety of different frameworks and that regulatory landscape, there is a material opportunity to use Vanta, for MSPs to use Vanta at the core of that business to drive efficiencies while they're layering on that proactive expertise to help guide the maturation process for a company's security and compliance program.
I mean, makes sense. I mean, here's the challenge, right? So let me throw this right back at you. A lot of MSPs might not have the resources inside of their own teams to do some of this work, right? Like even the MSPs just, I call it plumbing, you know, like style offering, right? They outsource a lot of this to third-party vendors, right? Because they don't have enough manpower inside their organizations to do 40 different things underneath the one umbrella, right? The technical part, right? Like, you know, computers and, you know, Microsoft and, you know, taking layering security products and trying to like, I call it the low-hanging fruit items. I think a lot of people have been doing that for a long time. The companies that in-source things like SOC and, you know, like they're really MSSPs, right? Managed security services providers, right? I feel like they specialize in that avenue. And I feel like MSPs who don't may even outsource that work to an MSSP, right? You know, because they may not have the know-how internally. So, you know, let's just go backwards and like put a bow on all of this. Does it, you know, it makes sense, it sounds like, for the MSP internally to do SOC 2 and get their own stuff in order to start, right? Like, that's a good starting place, right? And then the question is, do I offer this work as a new line of business in my MSP as a revenue generator, or do I partner with a company that does, because maybe they're really good at the, you know, the compliance style work, but they still need someone to do the plumbing style work that goes along with that. Does that make sense? Yeah,
it does. Absolutely. And I think ultimately, at the end of the day, there are multiple ways to achieve really positive outcomes for MSPs in this space. The thing that we are out there talking about and getting really positive feedback on from MSPs is that it really, starting from the top down, This is a problem, and when I say this, I mean talking about compliance and security in general. This is a problem that is not going away. This is a problem that is only getting bigger. And when, you know, when we think about, you know, the TAM of, you know, the security and compliance and the GRC world, we're talking about obviously a multi-billion dollar market here that is growing at a CAGR that is pretty like impressive. And so what we're preaching to our partners is that this is a worthwhile investment. You know, building that know-how and that subject matter expertise. And there's multiple ways in which you can do that. Hiring SMEs in subject matter experts internally, or training folks that are already in the business, hiring external subject matter experts, or creatively partnering with folks that know this space like MSSPs are three very reasonable avenues to start to tap into this market. Building, you know, we've been talking a lot about this with partners, but, you know, we view building around Vanta as a really unique opportunity, right? We've, we're about 5 years old as a business. We just surpassed 7,000 paying customers. We're demonstrating really material product market fit here. And again, we're just honestly starting to scratch the surface of that broader GRC market. And so, I think it really comes back to how is an MSP thinking about their future? Where do they want, how much do they want to grow? And if they've got ambitions to think about expanding their serviceable addressable market, this space is it's ripe with opportunity.
So a lot of MSPs, especially the ones that are a little bit more on the mature side, have installed, I don't know if I call it a CISO, but a security compliance person inside of the MSP, right? And like, they go back, they start asking questions of all their vendors, right? Like, hey, do you have a SOC 2? Like, do you have this documentation? Can you fill out the security questionnaire? So like, I feel like most MSPs have at least heard the message, your house needs to be in order and you need to be making sure that you're covered, because if and when, likely when, an incident occurs somewhere in the customers that you service, you need to be able to say that you are doing the right thing so that you don't end up getting into the worst position there, right? And like, it's America, everybody can sue anybody for anything. Don't mean it's gonna go. Like,
CYA, you know?
That's what it is. So like, how does the program work? Is the program, you know, like if an MSP is like, hey, we're now getting our stuff together, you know, we may not be 100% where we want to be, but we're going to start that journey now. Do they start that with Vanta internally and then turn the corner and start talking about, this is something we can offer to our customers? Or how do you present that?
Yeah. That's the natural progression, and it can happen as quickly as partners want. But you know, the best way, in our opinion, the best way to truly understand, I think there's two ways, but one of the best ways to truly understand how to work with Vanta and to build a business around Vanta is to leverage it yourself. So, you know, we offer, you know, the program itself offers NFRs that partners can access, and, you know, run through leveraging Vanta through the lens of their own business. They can then also use that to talk about that with their customers and demonstrate the value that they've seen ultimately to their end customers. The second way, the best process for learning Vanta is actually just go through that experience with one of your customers, hands-on coaching and taking them through the process. We have an extensive library of resources and humans that offer training in order to how best to do all this. And we work with our partners to bring them along on that customer journey to make that as smooth and as fast as possible. But again, like getting hands-on, actually contextualizing these risks, threats, et cetera, in the context of your own business, we found truly empowers partners to be able to speak to the value of it, and to their end customers.
Drink your own Kool-Aid first, right? And then you go and start putting the stand on the corner, right? And the lemonade guy's next to you and you're selling the Kool-Aid. Cool. You know, from a Vanta standpoint, like, how much software have you built to help the process, or do you partner with third-party solutions or integrate into other tools, or like paint that picture a little bit for us?
Yeah. So think about it this way. Vanta is, if I'm a CISO we're at a smaller company, you know, a singular security person that's been tasked with managing everything, because that often does happen. Vanta could become that single pane of glass that helps those individuals define, manage, automate, and report out on their security and compliance programs. And so that is, in essence, the software that we have built And it started with, again, SOC 2. How do you do that through the lens of SOC 2? And we've since taken that and expanded that across both attest and non-attest frameworks like ISO, GDPR, you mentioned HIPAA earlier, FedRAMP, PCI, HITRUST, you name it, all of these different frameworks. And the way that we do that, of course, we do integrate with third parties, right? We need to get any and all relevant employee, vendor, company data that is relevant for security and compliance purposes into Vanta. So we've got, we've connected with over, I think by latest count, you know, over 300, 350 different technology solutions out there from, we're talking AWS down to small and smaller security and awareness and training software providers out there that companies are using so that we can get each and every bit of that data into Vanta so that we can essentially simplify it, think about it this way, run that data against the controls via tests that are relevant for every one of those compliance frameworks. And that's where the automation comes in. Vanta is there to pull in that data, compare that data, and spit out a response around what you need to do with it. And I think where this, where again, the opportunity comes in for service providers is there's a lot of nuance in terms of what data needs to get in, what data is relevant, what data is not. And then most importantly, that remediation process, not just to get to SOC 2 readiness, but that ongoing remediation process. And again, that proactive nature is where MSPs, MSSPs, and the partner opportunity really comes into play.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, plenty of work there. If anybody, we had a session a while back where an MSP basically came on and said, making a lot of money getting involved in incident response, right? Like basically when an event occurs, let's say there's a cyber insurance policy, they are married up, you know, like the people who do this work are tied in with the insurance companies in a lot of cases. And then they get brought in to start cleaning things up. Well, cleaning things up requires a lot of the IT work that you're already used to doing, right? Reformatting machines, reinstalling networks, reconfiguring things. So like back to this point, right? There's a lot of IT related work that's involved in these parts, right? Like, hey, in order to do this part of the policy, right, you need to implement new technology. You need to configure the existing technology in a different way. Kind of like Office 365, right? Microsoft kind of leaves it as a blank canvas and you have to configure it the way that you need it to work rather than it, you know what I mean? And depending on your vertical. All that being said, it's cool that you've built, you know, because every MSP's heard single pane of glass. It's definitely an industry, like we hear it all the time. It's cool. So it sounds like it's multi-tenanted, which is great because like if you have customers, you can see them all in one place, which is great. A lot of MSPs hear the word integration all day, every day, right? So like the fact that you can tie in to a lot of the vendors that these, you know, that are already in use and pull the data in, that just saves time. And like time is the thing you can't get back, right? So how much of the, you know, like do you have in your partner program somewhere, I'm sure there's documentation and videos, like you said, all over the place, but like the parts where IT work is required, do you, like if you had to put a percentage to it, is it 20% of the process? Is it 50% of the process? What would you put, you know, guesstimate number at?
Yeah, no, that's interesting. And I want to come back to something you mentioned, the incident piece, which I think is really unique in terms of how to think about this from building a business standpoint. But I think, you know, I think the manual services component of it, given what Vanta's done from a software perspective, I think probably starts, if I'm being honest, somewhere in and around that 20 to 30% range and only increases from there. Again, just given the fact that security, you know, SOC 2 is a point in time attestation, security is something that is continuous and is something that businesses, again, need to think about on an ongoing basis and in an increase through an increasing lens. But it's funny, you mentioned incidents and deploying services around that. And I think that is why compliance and the SOC 2 journey is such an interesting entry point for partners, to grow their business. Because if they can start to, you know, build out this model around, call it, we can just say SOC 2 readiness and helping customers get to that point of readiness, what, you know, and just kind of narrowing in on a couple elements of that SOC 2 process, some of the things that that says you need to do is, you need to establish an incident response policy. You need to establish an access review policy for tools and things along those lines. Those are ways that partners can simply, I'm just grabbing a charger here. Those are partners where opportunities where partners can say, great, I can now offer you those services and layer on what was, you know, 1x, layer on 2x or 3x or X amount more hours, whatever it is. So it's that roadmap actually for growing your business, which I think is actually pretty unique and like a lovely entry point into, you know, net retention from a customer perspective.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm sure, you know, if you've been to, you know, anywhere in the MSP space, you've heard plenty of talking heads say, hey, this has been commoditized, right? What separates you from the next guy? If, you know, if there's, you know, if anybody needs an MSP, they probably already have one. By the way, I don't agree with that. I think there's plenty of business out there. So for the people that say that, sorry, we disagree. But the next step is, how do you make sure that your customer is worth it to you? Meaning, like, if there's not enough meat on the bone, you know, are you profitable, right? Or are you just, you know, burning your wheels and waiting for the next fire to come up, which nobody wants to do? So security is a big part of that. I think we all learned that over, I don't know, the last 4 years, right? Security has been pretty top of mind and pretty focal. And I would say 40% of every vendor that's shown up at an event in the last 4 years, 40, 50% of them have been security-based vendors. I digress. I just think, Elliot, a lot of MSPs have adopted multiple security vendors that they've layered in, but there isn't necessarily a definitive program, right? Like, they're trying to do best effort, best practice stuff, and hoping that checks enough boxes for, like, I don't know, the insurance, cyber insurance, you know, questionnaire or, you know, whatever. But I really believe the large majority of MSPs have not adopted a compliance security, like, idea, right? They're just saying, hey, I know I need, you know, MDR. I know I need, email protection. I know I need, and so on and so forth, right? And they've consolidated a lot of vendors to check these boxes, and then they stop, right? And they're like, hey, this is good enough for now, right? And then, like, they, you know, like, they hope that there's enough effort out there that, like, hey, if the customer's really in an industry where they need it, they'll go and say, hey, I have a vendor who's, you know, a SOC vendor, or, you know, we'll tie into all the tools and do log analysis and make sure that there, if there's an incident, we're aware sooner rather than later. But I think, and you made a comment earlier in the session, like, it's getting harder, right? Like, you can't, you know, like, and as time goes on, if we fast forward, Joe, to 2027, 2028, 3-4 years from now, all that stuff that you said is percolating at a state-by-state basis, or maybe even at the federal government level, will start maybe be having some teeth to it, right? Like, we'll actually start to show up in the, hey, we've now created new rules that make you go through the process. And by the way, you've probably heard some of this if you're listening to this, but if you look at some of our, some other countries that MSPs are very, you know, popular in, like Australia has something called the Essential 8, or mm-hmm. the UK has a similar program. Like, the governments in some of these other countries are already ahead of the US in setting up these situations where, like, you have to do it. And, like, they're going to start auditing from a government standpoint that you are in compliance. So, you know, Elliot, sounds like if we're in that early adoption, I don't know, can we say early adoption? If we're in that early adoption wave where it's like, hey, in the next 3, 4, 5-ish years, something's going to finally hit, right? And it's going to come down like a tidal wave. It kind of makes sense to be ahead of that and be prepared, because I got to think that there's a learning curve to this, right? And, like, if you're not ready for it, by the time that it does hit, it might be too late for you to get, like, you know what I mean? Like, you'll be past that, you know, that perfect point.
Yeah. I think you're spot on with a lot of that. And I'll, my thoughts around it kind of go back to the first comment and slash question you made as part of that was around, you know, from a more thinking about it through a return perspective and, you know, delighting customers. In my opinion, what this all comes down to is really tying it towards positive business outcomes. And I do believe that we are just now in the early days of that. Again, if you zoom out and you look at this over the last 10 years and you look at the next 20 years, the positive business outcomes as it relates to compliance, we're just scratching the surface. The reason being, you know, right now, if I'm a small business, you know, deals, quote unquote, can still be won without, you know, with larger companies, with, you know, without a SOC 2 in many ways, or in some limited ways. But there is going to be a time in the not too distant future where you will not be able to close deals, get contracts signed with larger entities, again, or even smaller entities, without being able to demonstrate that you are growing your business in a secure, compliant, and responsible way. And so I would wholeheartedly agree that there is a learning curve associated with that. And if I'm, you know, an MSP on the IT side of the business with no compliance expertise, I do think now is still a great time to start thinking about layering in that security and compliance perspective, because, and we see it with our customers day in and day out, being able to prove that you are a secure and compliant company not only gets you in the door in many instances and doesn't get you kicked out, but the other thing too is it can become a material differentiator in what is already a crowded landscape across many different industries. Being able to showcase that you are a product, service, or vendor that can grow with your customer for the foreseeable future and grow in a responsible way. We've seen it, you know, you can see all the case studies, vanta.com/MSP and customer, vanta.com/customer. You can see that our customers are saying, Vanta helps us do this faster and it got us in the door. It helped us close this deal. It is enabling us to reduce time spent doing XYZ. It's really clearly tied to those business value, positive business outcomes, which ultimately are those things that are going to create longer lasting revenue streams for the folks listening.
That's awesome. Well, not just create net new, but how about preventing the call where an existing customer is calling you saying, "Hey, we've just picked up a new line of business ourselves. They're requiring us to do this and this in order to pick it up. So can you do this already? Or if not, I may have to leave and find somebody else who does do it, like who is in compliance." Yep. And like, nobody wants to lose business, especially if that customer may be one of your bigger ones, you know, like, and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, like we were doing great work. They were happy. And then all of a sudden we got the rug pulled out from underneath of us. Right.
Yep, exactly. We see that come up left and right. And you mentioned international. I think that's a great example of, you know, you take any, you know, many of our, I think roughly speaking, 70 to 75% of our customers are based in North America. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every day a customer says to us or to one of the folks on our post-sale side, "Hey, we're thinking about growing internationally as a business." Or, "Hey, we landed a deal in Germany and, you know, Australia is a great example. Like they're asking us about essentials aid. What is that? What do we do? And like, those are just those perfect opportunities to, obviously delight and continue to deliver, for all of our customers here. So
there was one thing that you said that I want to touch on the way out the door. One thing that I believe Vanta does, and I just want to really highlight this. There are multiple frameworks, right? Like HIPAA is a framework, SOC 2 is a framework, ISO pick your number is a framework, like CMMC is a framework. Yep. Like they keep on coming, right? Depending on what end industry your end customer plays in, right? Are they in finance? Are they in medical? Are they whatever? Vanta allows you to actually pull in data for multiple of these at the same time, to the point where instead of you redoing work, it's cross-pooling that information. So like, let's say you did SOC 2, Elliot, and like 33% of your SOC 2 work applies to another compliance. You're not starting from zero now.
We call it crosswalking. You almost had it word for word, but you could, you should join us in that. But no, you nailed it. It's once you've, it's a requirement, because no one business out there is just going to be reliant on SOC 2. And so we built the product so that it is very extensible, in the sense that once you take that first step, we make it really easy to continue to help, support you on that compliance journey, whether it's in a closely related framework or something totally different. Vanta, and again, paired with those experts from our partners, are extremely well positioned to make that that journey as smooth as possible. So,
and then also, now you're not having, hey, I need to find a company that's really good in HIPAA. Hey, I need to find a, like a Vanta of a different type of compliance, right? Like, now all of a sudden you're managing multiple compliance platforms in order to, that gets messy. And I think as MSPs, we argue that there should be standardization and not multiple vendors in the same category, else it becomes unmanageable to a certain degree.
Yeah, that's the whole goal. We want to make it as easy and simple as possible. And that's why, we take both a breadth and a depth approach. So, it encompasses both integrations, being able to integrate with virtually every relevant technology product out there is important, but also getting the right depth of information and data from those integrations is really important. And the same thing from a framework standpoint. We're going to continue to grow with this ever increasingly complex regulatory environment. And we also need to be sure that the quality of the controls and the tests that we're building in the product that are associated with those frameworks are just as sound and as high quality as what we built for SOC 2 years ago. So,
yeah, that's awesome. We could probably do another hour on this, let's be honest. But like, bottom line is, if you're doing security for real, and if you've adopted a security approach in your managed services or IT services business, but you've not really gone down the compliance lane, maybe you've kind of outsourced a little bit of that, but like, there's not an actual program, take a look at this. I think you said vanta.com/MSP.
You got it.
That's where you need to
go. Pretty simple.
When they say get your house in order, this is part of it, right? Like, yep. You may need to ultimately adopt something like SOC 2 for your MSP first. And like, that could take 6 months, could take a year, like somewhere in that range. But I really truly believe, because MSP service all these different industries, you will be challenged in either A, your customer's going to ask you for help with this, or B, your customer's going to come to you and say, I need you to be compliant with this in order for me to continue doing business with you. One way or another, there's a, let's keep customers retention, let's take care of our own work too. Three, let's build some new business. I think that changes the conversation. Really, honestly, like, you're not just plumbing from an MSP standpoint. We're now a little bit more strategic. I think that that's a huge message that we've been trying to hear for an MSP land for a long time. Get into the business consulting part of it. Hey, we're a strategic voice in the way that you run your business. This is just another way to do that. So I digress.
So, Elliot, I was gonna say, it's a great way to grow, acquire customers, retain those customers, and do so more efficiently.
Perfect. Elliot, now that I got your name right, sorry about that. You tell your buddy Joe. I swear I emailed it to everybody, but I digress. Tell your buddy Joe I said hello. But Elliot, thanks for coming on board. Vanta.com/MSP. I assume if they reached out to you individually, you could, get them into the right place, right? Elliot Goldwater. So if you find him online, there he is. And I have seen Vanta popping up at MSP events, right? Like IT industry events too. So
absolutely. We're around. We're out there. So
awesome. Come back to us. Awesome. Thank you very much, everyone. This session was absolutely recorded. You'll find it at mspinitiative.com under sessions, and it'll be on, you know, YouTube and the podcatchers and all that good stuff. Vanta.com/MSP. Keep coming back. We do these twice a week, and we're definitely going to be on the road. And I'm sure you're going to see Vanta at probably some of the larger events. But if you haven't taken a look at SOC 2 or some of the other compliances too, check it out. I think this is a good one for you. Elliot, catch you on the flip side. Thanks, everyone else, for watching in and listening. Have a good one.
Thank you, George. Have a great day.